our race with perseverance, that we're not to give up. But the writer of Hebrews, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, says this: the only way to do that is by fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And today, as we come into His presence and begin to worship, I just want to encourage you to set aside the things that so easily distract, whatever they are, and to lift out your eyes this morning. We want to enter in to His courts with thanksgiving and praise. He's an awesome God, and He is worthy of our praise. So, Father God, we thank You today that You are a God of love, that You're a God of mercy, that You're a God of compassion, who is slow to anger and abounding in love. And Father God, we thank You for Your Son and the price He paid, so that we can have access right now into the very Holy of Holies. We can choose. We can choose, God, to stay in the outer courts, or we can choose to enter in through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we make a choice to lift our eyes and fix them on Jesus, the King of Glory. And we make a choice to enter in and worship You, our God, for no other reason than that You are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Be lifted up. Be lifted up. Church, let's worship the Lord. Amen.
Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and liberty. But we are all with open face beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He wants to move. He wants to move in our hearts today. And He loves you just as you are, that's true. But God wants us to grow. And He wants us to change into His image. And He wants to see a transformation in our hearts. But we have to do that. We have to come before Him, lay it down so that He can change our hearts to His will. Our love pours out to Him in a grateful heart. That's the love He desires to see, is a grateful heart. Give us a grateful heart to see You, Lord, and to see what You're doing in our lives, Jesus.
Thank You, Jesus. Paul prays this amazing prayer over the church in Ephesus, that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know Him better. And Holy Spirit, it's through You that our lives are transformed. Through a revelation of how much, Father God, You love us, and we are transformed by the power of Your Spirit. And Father God, today I pray, as we worship and as we minister, Lord God, that You will open the eyes of our hearts to see You as You truly are, Lord. The King of Glory, the Warrior God, the Mighty God, the Awesome God, the Creator of heaven and earth, and yet the Lover of my soul, who longs for a relationship with me, His child. And Father, today I pray by the power of Your Spirit that we will understand, not through information, but through revelation, who we are and what it is You've called us to do. We thank You, Father God, that You are the God of transformation. And transformation starts in the heart. It's from the inside out. And You said in the book of Ezekiel that You will pour Your Spirit upon us. And you will sprinkle water upon us, and you will cleanse us. And you will remove a stony heart and replace it with a heart of flesh. And then you say that you will move us to follow your decrees. And Father, without you, we can do nothing. But in you, we can do all things through Christ. And church, that's a hope we have. That's a revelation that we have. And we're going to minister the word, and then we're going to worship the Lord some more, because I believe that God wants to do some surgery in our hearts. And I believe that the enemy is trying to distract us this morning, because he knows that when we come into full freedom in Christ, nothing will stop us. So today we're going to be speaking on the difference between our function and our position. Our function and our position. Because when we mix those up, that's when all kinds of stuff happens. When we get our value out of our function instead of who we are in Christ, stuff happens. And God wants to break that. And I want to tell you, I've been doing a series on the gifts. And today, in my heart, we were going to talk about the apostolic gifts in Ephesians 4:11. And I prepared, and I was so excited about what God was showing me afresh about the apostolic gifts. But yesterday morning, I felt God say, you're talking function without people fully understanding position. And I want to tell you, church, we talk about who we are in Christ often, but until it becomes revelation through the power of the Spirit, we can talk it and talk it and talk it. And I felt that unless this foundation is fully established in our heart, cracks will happen. And so I'm so pleased about the worship and the songs that have been chosen, and we will worship again at the end of the service. But I want you to think about that, even through the announcements in that, I wanted to lay that seed, function and position. And as we minister, I pray God will bring freedom in this house. We want to see His kingdom come, church. I want to see this church, this part of the vineyard, the church universal, but this part full of the knowledge of the glory of God. The Word of God says the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, but it starts here. Imagine when we as a people get filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. We will change the city. We will change our neighborhood. We will change our lives by the power of the Spirit. And let's give God a praise offering to say thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Church, you may be seated. Okay. You do know that by taking up my time, it doesn't mean I'm going to preach shorter. It just means you're going to be here longer. I know the plan. Great. And Mr. and Mrs. McMahon, will you please stand up there and wave? Okay, did the McMahons have Mac fun? No more information, please. Okay, great. Thank you so much. Like I said, we've been looking at the gifts for a while, and we started on the Corinthians 12 spiritual gifts, and those are online, and you're welcome, more than welcome to go online and listen to those messages. And I wanted to speak. I laid a foundation 2 weeks ago on Ephesians gifts, and we spoke about heart before the gifting. And I was going to speak on the 4:11 gifts, but I just felt, like I say, that God gave me those two words, position and function, and that we need to stick to that as long as God wants us to, until we get it in our hearts. But what I first wanted to do, because oftentimes we speak about the gifts and people wonder, well, what is he speaking about? What are the gifts? So I just want to lay a little foundation, a little platform. In the scripture, we see three different types of gift sets in scripture. And within that, all of us have a place and a function. God's intention was always for the priesthood of all believers, that's all of us, to function in our gifting and anointing. For preachers to preach, teachers to teach, servants to serve, encouragers to encourage, and so on. And so there are three sets of gifts. And the amazing thing about these gifts, each set of gifts was given by the triune God. God the Father gave one set, God the Son another, and God the Holy Spirit. And we see the triune God in operation. So I'm just going to read, just so that you know where they are. I'm going to read through them. You might not have heard them of them before. But if you can pick up Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 8. And Paul starts his chapter off by saying, therefore, and if you want to know what the therefore is there, you need to read the last 11 chapters. But he gets to a place and says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer you bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's a mindset in the world that is contrary to the mindset of the kingdom. And our mind is renewed. It is renewed as we listen to the word, as we spend time in God's word and in his presence, and the word, the logos word, becomes rhema. In other words, the written word becomes revelation to us, and that's only when renewal begins to take place. If we read the Bible like a novel or like a history book, and I love the stories of the Bible, we are not going to get the essence of what God is talking about with regards to our minds being renewed. And once our minds are renewed, then we will be able to test and approve what God's will, his good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. I would put there too, do not think of yourself more lowly than you ought, but rather think of yourself in sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So God gives us each a measure of faith. We know we have a measure of faith because we are saved. And Hebrews 11:6 is that without faith, it is impossible to believe to be saved, to believe in God, because we need to believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek us. So the very fact that you believe that God exists means you have a measure of faith. Now, faith is like a seed, or faith is like a muscle. It has to be watered by the Spirit, and through revelation, it begins to grow, and it has to be exercised like a muscle. If you want a body of mind like mine, you have to spend a lot of time in gym. You see, I exercise my stomach muscles more than my arms. That's the problem. That's why. Just as each one of us has one body, listen to this, and many members, that's you, and these members do not have the same function. Remember, we're talking function and position. We do not have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. In other words, what Paul is saying under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, don't overstep the boundaries. It's something that grows. It's something that matures. And we need to remember that everything we do should be in proportion to our faith. And as we walk out, and as we begin to prophesy, and as we begin to speak the word of God, so, and as we are faithful with a little, increase comes. And so we start at the beginning with a measure. And it goes on to say this here, that let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. We see, let's do the next one, okay? And if it is teaching, let him teach. Isn't that interesting? Prophesy, serving, teaching. They're all gifts from God. We're all called to serve, but there's some people that have anointing to serve. They know, they see, and they do. Now, we're all called to do that. If we are with an unrenewed mind, and if we are thinking hierarchically, we would say prophecy is up here. When the prophet's in town, we will all come and we'll receive a word from him. We'll say, teacher, man, that guy can teach really well, but I'm only a servant. What can I do? There is no hierarchy of gifting. Isn't it amazing that in between those two, he put servant? It is equally, if not more, needed in the body of Christ than any of the other gifts. And we know that we think with an unrenewed mind, because if we were going to do a conference on how to serve the body of Christ, I don't know how many would come. But if the prophet was here, can you see? Because we have this thought that will. And so the thing for the prophet is to guard his heart. Well, I'm the man of power for the hour. I've got the goods. Well, the fact those goods come from God, and your teaching gift is not yours, it's from God. It's a grace gift. Each one of us have been given a gift according to the grace given to us. It's the same as I cannot jump 6 feet. I'm not even 6 feet tall. So I can practice all I want, and I'm not going to get over that bar. But some people can jump it easily. Why? They practiced for sure. They did all the things they should do, but I could follow them exactly and still not get over that bar. And then I could feel a failure. No, I have a different gift set. I'm made differently. God created me in his image to function in a way, and he knew how that would be. So he created me as I am. So we set the bar up there, and we think, man, if only I was a prophet, if only I was a teacher, if only I was a pastor. You see, that is stinking thinking. That is thinking of the world. But if I start as a lowly servant and I serve well, then maybe. Yes, God can increase your gifting because they come from God. Yes, God can increase your ministry and all of that. But that is not who you are. That is what you do. Function and position. Okay. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. Do you know, after a bad, heavy week or stuff goes on in my life or anybody's life and things have just come against us, I don't need another sermon. I need encouragement. I was encouraged when I saw Kasim come back to church. It's awesome. Encouragement is important. Encouragement helps people grow in their gift. When you see them, like I said, these chairs, I'm working on it, but I'm not there. I've got a magic wand, but it just doesn't work when I come in the morning and this all gets set up. I tried, but it just hasn't happened. There are people that come and do this. Now, if they didn't do their job, I couldn't do mine. If the sound room wasn't doing that, can you see who's more important? I tell you, the one that's the most important is the one that's missing. That's when you know how important that gift is. And you have a gift, but your gift is not your identity. Your gift is what you do because you have identity. Does that make sense? Contributing to the needs of others. Man, there's some people that just know. Hey, I'm going to, that person needs a bag of potatoes. Or I'm going to just drop this off there. You don't even have to tell them. They just know. That's a gift from God. And God wants you to function in that. Encouragement is a gift. If it is giving, let him give generously. This church cannot operate without finances. And so God raises up people to be generous. We're all called to give. We're all called to tithe, I believe, and we can preach on that sometime. But there is a gift of generosity. And I have a friend in South Africa. He's a Lebanese guy. I tell you, he embarrasses me. He's a friend of mine, and we go to South Africa. And I remember a few times ago, just to shorten the story, I rented a car. He found out that I'd rented a car. He was in tears. He came to me, Mike, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why didn't you, Terry, you, sorry, there we are. Timmy, you do so much for us. You do so much. Mike, please, if you ever come to South Africa again and rent a car, I'm going to puncture the tires. It's true, and he would. How can, I'm telling you, he's a friend. We go there. How, what can we do? What can we do? I said he's got a beautiful, you know, God has blessed him, going through trials like everybody with the financial. I'm sitting on this, on the veranda of his house, which is beautiful. I mean, I'll show you, just tropical, beautiful thing. And I said, Terry, thank you. He said, what for? He says, man, you open your house, this and that. He says, you know, Mike, I don't own one of these things. They're all God's. So I appreciate the thanks. But you're thanking the wrong person. That kind of thing is a gift. Being generous. Generosity is a gift. Supplying needs, financial needs, is a gift. Oh, well, all I can do is put in my tithe. What am I? Well, you help this church impact the city and the nations by doing that. And when somebody gets saved, might be through my ministry or through my preaching gift, one day God will say, well done. These are the people that got saved. Well, how did I? Well, you sowed into that ministry. And through that ministry, people got saved. And this is accredited to your account because you used your gift. Can you see that? They're all important, and we do it cheerfully. The second gift said, this is that was given by God the Father. This Ephesians 4:11 gifts, and we'll just get these up. Ephesians 4:11 is given by God the Son. You can read the chapter, and you'll see that. It was He is Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. What for? Why did he give them to the body? So that they could be the men of power in the hour, so they could say, I'm the guy. We see a lot of that. Unfortunately, we've seen less of that, I think. Fortunately, we've seen less of that. It's a gift given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the soul purpose of that gift, and the sole purpose of my gift today in operation as I teach or preach, whatever you want to say it is to equip you, listen here, to prepare or equip God's people for works of service. Now in the book of James chapter 1, there's a little scripture around about 20, 22 that is like a wake-up call to me every now and then, where it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. So how does the deception come in? The deception is this. The equipper gets up, the apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, working in their pastor, working in their apostolic or fivefold ministry gift. They come and equip you, and we do nothing with it. And we think this is the deception, that by hearing and by coming, we are doing. And that is how the church operates, because people have been taught wrongly with stinking thinking by unrenewed minded pastors to spectate. There is nothing in the body that says that your job is to come on a Sunday and listen to me and do nothing about it. Everything is about functioning together as a body, understanding who we are, but functioning and walking out our function. And they are so broad. So if you don't know what your function is, everyone should serve. Everyone can encourage. That's where it starts. But these are equipping gifts, these ones. Why is this important? God says, so that the body of Christ may be built up. How long do we need to do this for? Until we reach the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's what God has for us. But it's going to take us all saying, taking ownership. I want to tell you, and this is another thing that I hear often, because people are taught like this. This is your church. Hey, Mike, you've got a great church. Or you've got a... No, it's not my church. God has called me to lead this part of His vineyard. It's His church. And I serve in my function, which is to lead, to encourage and equip. But it is His church. This is no more my church than it is yours. It's ours together under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to take ownership. 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 How can I help, or what can I do, what gift do I have to enable this body to advance the kingdom? And so that's what we're here for. We're not here just to give good sermons, but we're here to equip. You're not there just to listen, and if that's what you've been taught from today, you're no different. Amen? You have a job to do. I have a job to do. Go and read 1 Corinthians 12 about the body function. When one part hurts, we all hurt. When one is missing, we all see it and feel it. But when the body is working together, when my toe is not trying to be my eye, or my ear is not trying to be my mouth, talks about that. But when we function together, there's unity, there's power, there's anointing. And I tell you what, the enemy is dead scared of a people or of a church who will believe this. This morning, I want to tell you, was chaos here. The computers weren't working. We had two there. Stuff happened. I changed my message yesterday, so I didn't get my notes through. All kinds of stuff happened. Why? I went to Melissa and said, listen, we're going to worship afterwards. I felt there was a, until we got that breakthrough, there was a press back. But why are we surprised? The enemy doesn't want us to function. He doesn't want you to hear this message. He doesn't want you to know who you are in Christ. He doesn't want any of this. And so, on one side I'm saying, this is no good. And the other side is, you're still going to get a black eye anyway, because whether there's sound or not, I'm going to scream and shout, and we'll get this message out, and we will sing. I said to the worship team, without overheads or anything, we are going to worship God. We have to know that we're in a battle. But when we fight together, arm in arm, linked together, each one of us in our position, not out of position. And for whatever reason, I spent some time in the military, was conscripted, and I learned not out of wanting to, how to work in team, how to march in team. That's why they started with marching. How to do that. The consequences of being out of position in the battlefield. People die. And we're in a spiritual battle. See, when God puts a company commander, when they appoint in the military a company commander, and he says, listen, this is a strategy, this is what we're going to do. And we decide, no, we're going to do that. Who's going to die? Do you know what? He's in the base, far from the bullets. I'm going to die. And that's what God wants, is we are the body of Christ, we're the family of God, but you know, we're also the army of God, forcefully advancing the kingdom of God. And so, that's Ephesians 4:11. Now, the last set, and then I want to make a few comments on position, but I just wanted you to know. So if you want to know, read Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Corinthians 12. Go and meditate it and study it. I'll put these notes up also on the internet. This is what it says about the gifts of the Spirit. There are different gifts, Romans 12 from verse 4. There are different gifts, kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service. You see the word service? Gifts are used to serve, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings. Gifts are to enable us to work out our call, but the same God who works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good. God equips you to help others. It's not for you. You see, if your identity is in your gift, then it's about you. Because the better I function, the better I feel. And the better people recognize me. It's not for you. It's for the common good. The beauty about it is the more I function and submit myself to the authority God puts me under and submit myself to God, the more that gift grows. The more God can trust me. Isn't that wonderful? For the common good. There's little cameos here. And then it goes here. To one that's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another interpretation of tongues. These are all the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one as He determines. Now you're saying, what the heck is that? Well, that's why we need teachers. You see, on a Sunday, I lamented with Deborah, if I'm going to fully speak on this, I need 3 hours today. And my wife's always saying, you need to cut back. I understand that. But how do we teach our people and when? We need teachers that we can say, listen, you want to learn about the gifts of the Spirit? Come to our house on a Wednesday night. Let the leaders know first that you're doing it. Go through what you're going to say so there's unity, so we don't have to box on doctrine and confuse people. But do you want to learn about the gifts of the Spirit? We're going to teach you. We have teachers. We have gifted teachers and so on. And we will teach you those things. Now, this is where the rubber hits the road, and this is what I wanted to put on the screen, because these few comments. It says, I want to say this. Remember, function and position. These gifts are given not to serve us, to serve me or yourself, not to make me good, not to give me a position. They are not given for that. But because we don't understand identity, that's where it always goes. And so it says this. But they're given to us to equip us to love, serve, and function in a supernatural way in the body of Christ, and through that to love and serve the world around us, and thereby extend the kingdom of God. It's this simple. And in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if you can go to Matthew 5, 13, Jesus starts to speak about the kingdom. The kingdom. Now let me tell you how the kingdom of God works. First of all, a little thing on the kingdom. In the kingdom, there's a king. And that's not you. And it's not me. The King of Glory. Go and read Revelations, and if you're not quaking in your boots after reading about the resurrected king, you'll think twice on wanting to put yourself on his throne. I will. I hate the word you. We will. We will think twice of doing that. But I want to tell you, in our lives, anything that we have not subjected to the king is not part of the kingdom. So, if God gifts us in one way and he calls us, and we say, I'm going to do it my way, we still have the gift, we still have the call, because the gifts are without repentance. God gives us gifts, and just as I give Mark this beautiful pen, gold pen, if I give him that pen, it's a cheap one, but this has a paper mate. I give him that pen, gold pen, and then he upsets me. And I say, you know what? I want that back. You can't have it. That's not a gift. Sometimes you give somebody a gift and you think, I wish I didn't do that. But you can't get it back. The same with the gifts God gives. And this is where it goes wrong. Men begin to operate in a gift and in anointing God-given in submission to the king. But one day pride gets in their heart. People are giving them adulation, and they think, okay, I'm the man. And without me even knowing it, I become king. The anointing lifts. I still have the gift. People don't even know it. You know that people did not know for 40 years that the Spirit of God had left Saul. Maybe he was 10 years in. For 30 years, they fought David because Paul was gifted as a king. He was a warrior. He could do all this stuff. They never even recognized that there was no anointing upon his life. And so we can, and this is a danger. We can begin to operate in a gift outside of the God-given structure of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, eldership teams in submission, and we can begin to use our gift and people won't even know it. But you know what happens? It becomes harder and harder and harder for us to do, because gifts are given by grace, and grace is an enabler, and grace enables us to function easily in our gift. But when the Spirit is, God just withdraws, he redraws his grace, and the next week, man, this is harder. I've got to scream more. I've got to play that guitar harder. I've got to jump up and down. I've got to become like a rock band, because they can get people to jump and scream too. And you think, wow, that was awesome. No anointing. Nobody even knows it. But you and God. And that's when we get on our knees and we humble ourselves, and he gives grace to the humble while he's been resisting us. And we wonder why. And just says, God, I give this to you. You see, the gift I have, I should actually just give back to God. Say, God, use me in that. Isn't it wonderful? Okay, where are we? Okay, Matthew 5:13. This is how simple the advancement of the kingdom is. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Remember, the salt wasn't taken away. The salt lost its saltiness. The gift wasn't removed. It just lost its saltiness. It just didn't taste good. You know, when somebody's operating and you think, that doesn't sit right with me. And maybe you're disobedient and not hearing the conviction of God, but you're in the right place. You say, that just doesn't, it's like a gear missing. Going, that's a gift operating without salt. The saltiness of the salt. It's like it doesn't taste right. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, you, let your light so shine before men. The city, the nation, how? That they might see your good deeds. That they might see you functioning in your gifting and your anointing. And out of that life flows. It's not what I say, it's what we do. But as we function and they see that function, my neighbors and so on, as they see that, it has an impact on their lives. We might not even see it, but 5 years later, somebody might give them the gospel and they say, you know, I had a neighbor, they were a Christian, they were amazing people. You're a Christian, you're one of those. I had one of those living next to me. It was hell. Never did their lawn, never greeted us. Even if they don't greet you, love them. Love them, love them, love them. Because as you operate in your gift, then eventually, let's say they come to you and they have a problem. Unsaved, they're talking, not asking you to pray for them. Hey, this is happening with my kid, man. I'm so upset and all of that. And God gives you a word of knowledge. All of a sudden, the spiritual gifts. In other words, God gives you insight to what's going on. And he gives you, through that word of knowledge, a solution. That is not to beat them over the head, but hey, bro, you know, I'm just feeling. Don't get freaky with them. Thus saith the Lord. No, I just feel that this is the issue with your boy. I've been watching it. Maybe you should consider this. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's why he's on drugs or whatever it is. All of a sudden, wow. But he knows you're a Christian. Walk away. You've served him. A good deed is not only supplying a glass of water. A good deed is using your gifting to advance the kingdom. And when they do that, when we do that, they will see your good deeds and begin to praise God. Isn't that absolutely amazing? This is a statement I wrote yesterday. Rewrote it and rewrote it. It's not perfect. But it's what I felt would capture the essence of what God wants us to know. And that is that he loves us. He loves us. He loves us unconditionally. And I wrote this. When we operate without a revelation of who we are in Christ, or we lose that revelation, and without a revelation of his unconditional love for us. Continued revelation. Remember, the church in Ephesus, birthed by power, Paul says, I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation on you. 30 years later, only 30 years later, Jesus speaks to John about that church and says, they have forsaken their first love. They need to repent and turn around. So we need to make sure we're in God's presence. God, remind me again of who I am. I'm your child. You love me. You died for me. You sent your son. God, remind me all of the wonderful things you did. And Lord, more than that, just give me a greater understanding and revelation of your love for me. Because out of that, ministry will flow. Out of that, out of my security, it doesn't matter what I do. I am saved. I am blessed. I'm in the kingdom. And God loves me. So I don't do stuff to get his approval or to prove to others. I do stuff because I have his approval. And he smiles upon me even when I make the biggest mistake. Like Peter getting out the boat, half drowning. I've seen it said, "Oh, Peter, you of little faith." Because he says that. And maybe Jesus dunking him a few more times. You got to learn a lesson. I see my pictures. "Oh, Peter, you of little faith, come here. Come here." Picks him up, walks him to the boat, gives him a pat on the back. "Well done, at least you tried. And you 11 scallywags who are laughing at him, you didn't even try. And you know what? I could have sunk that boat and your security would have gone anyway. Because your security was in a piece of wood. Your security is in your job. Your security is in that. Your security is not in me." And at least Peter got out of that boat. He walked a few yards and he nearly drowned, but I would not let him drown. I will never leave him. I will never forsake him. And even though he could have walked there and kept his eyes on me and been victorious, even though he fell, I loved him and I'm proud of him because he got out the boat. Don't be afraid that God's going to hit you on the head if you make a mistake, because if you don't make a mistake, you've never tried. Don't be afraid. Get out the boat. I'm going to go. And God says, "Go and pray for that person." They freak out. "Oh, I'm never doing that again." God's got such a smile. Jesus going to God, "You see that? See your son? Well done. Okay, God, give me wisdom. Help me to do this." And so on. So, this is what I wrote then. I personally believe that performance, when we operate without a revelation of who we are in Christ and God's unconditional love for us, then I personally believe, this is me, performance and acts will always triumph over fruit, no matter how hard we try. But in our, if our minds have been renewed by the washing of the word and we understand who we are, then more of this fruit of the Spirit will be evident in my life. You see, it's not a conscious thing. When we don't have a full revelation, and guys can minister powerfully their whole lives and not have one. And I think I've done that often. When we don't understand and that full revelation, when we're not founded on that foundation of love, forgiveness, acceptance, and grace, then subconsciously, without even knowing it, we begin to be man pleasers. We begin to want to say, "Well, I need some identity. Nobody's recognizing me. If I just serve, who will even know about it?" God, your Father. And he wants to, one day you will get to eternity. I wanted to speak about fruit and acts, but we won't get there. Galatians chapter 5. The acts of the sin nature and the fruit of the Spirit. But I tell you, God is smiling down. And you're going to get there one day. And he's going to say, "You know, well done. Good and faithful servant." And you say, "What? I made so many mistakes. I did. Well done." What you don't understand is those mistakes were paid for. I forgave you before you even did them. On the cross, I forgave you. Two radical statements about Abraham and David. It says in Acts 13 or 14, when David had served the purposes of God, he fell asleep. In the same chapter, it says, "I found in David, the son of Jesse, the man after my own heart, who will do everything I ask him to do." Now, if you read David's lifestyle, and I love reading David's lifestyle, life, I love it. You say, wait a minute,
He committed adultery. He arranged a murder. He counted the sheep. He didn't inquire of God with the ark the first time. And yet, God and the Holy Spirit with integrity will say he did everything I asked him to do. How can that happen? I tell you how. Because God forgave him and he chooses to remember our sin no more. So when he sees David come through those gates, he only sees him as his perfect son because he sees him through the blood of Jesus. Abraham, without wavering in his faith, Romans 4, he believed without a shadow of doubt that though he was old and Sarah was barren, he would become the father of many nations. Go back. Genesis 22. Hagar. He did waver there. But he repented, made right with God. He puts Isaac on the altar. He gives it back to God. Gone. 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 Never to be seen again in eternity. Never to be held against him. Never, ever, ever. That's relationship. The other's religion. And that's how God sees you and me. And when we understand that, we just say, God, just use me. I don't care where it is. I don't care what I do. I just want to be used of you, and you do, and you make a mistake, or you don't, and you feel bad. It doesn't matter, because God loves you. He's died for you. And your salvation is secure. And if I had these 3 hours, we'd go from there into the difference between salvation and inheritance. Because Corinthians 3 says, be careful how you build, watch what you do. Wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, precious metal, whatever you build it, because on the day it will be revealed. Some will burn up, but some will be there. But you'll still get in. The Bible says these words, that you'll still get into heaven, even as smelling of smoke. Isn't that amazing? The flames of hell burning your butt, but you're in heaven. And God's going to say, well done. Well done. Well done. I just want to finish in a song of worship. If you need to go, God bless you. If I have the worship team in, because I believe let's just wait until we're not distracted. I believe, because you see, while I was thinking about this, and that's why I put the subconscious what, we do it without knowing it. I'm not saying we are bad people and we do it without knowing it. We just want, we crave it. I was looking at my life and I could see how often I've done that and do that. And wasn't that God was upset? He just wanted to show me, Mike, I love you regardless of how you perform. And well done for trying. And God is saying that over you here, right now. And he wants you to know without a shadow of a doubt that he loves, that he loves, that he loves, that he loves you. And if you can, that revelation of the depth, breadth, and height of the love of God, that has an ocean of love that has no shores, an ocean with no boundaries, that's how deep is his love for you. And you see, when we get that, and it's still needing to be broken, it's an ongoing journey in my life. When we get that, freedom comes. Freedom comes. And out of a place of love, instead of trying to serve him in our own strength, we want to lay down our lives. We want to serve him. And so I just felt God yesterday saying to me, You've got this the wrong way around. You're speaking about gifts. People don't understand their position. But God, we've spoken about it often, the unconditional love of God. They don't understand. But God, what more? They don't understand. It will come. Then, I'm having this conversation with God in my mind. He says, do you understand? I say, not fully. Okay. You don't understand. You don't understand. You are getting there, and I'm setting you free. But when we get this, church, the things of the world will be strangely dim. The light and momentary afflictions that we go through will fade. They won't go away. They just won't have a hold on our lives. And we'll be able to sit there and say, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. You ask me how I know? The Bible tells me so. The Logos has become Rhema, revelation. And if you've come from any type of abuse background, like I have, and it could be radical abuse, it could be psychological abuse, it could be physical abuse, it doesn't matter. This is something that will has stopped me over and over again because of a rejection of a natural father, a violent natural father. And though I think I'm done with this stuff, when God reveals stuff, I feel I'm not good enough. I shouldn't be doing this. And that's what started the conversation yesterday morning. Should I be doing this, God? As God has revealing stuff. Why is He revealing it? He's revealing it for my good and for your good. So I'm going to pray, because I can't do anything more, and I pray that there's anointing on this message. It will be online. Go over it and go over it and go over it. But I'm going to pray for you, all of us right now, if you'll close it, that the Holy Spirit will come. For the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us. He's upon me to and anointed me to preach good news, to bind up broken hearts and to set people free. And that anointing, I feel God wants to just release. And that's why it was so hard in the beginning. We had all of these issues. So Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite you. We invite you to come and just reveal my Dad in Heaven's love for me and who I am and my value. That is not in what I do, but who I am, and that's a child of my Dad in Heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, break those chains. Only You can do it. Your anointing, break those yokes of oppression and performance. Set us free. Set us free. Set us free. Set us free today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Chains be broken. Lives be changed. Revelation to come by the power of Your Spirit. Amen. Church, just stand. If you need to go, God bless you. If you can stay, please open the back doors tight so people need to. I want to say this. Don't have to, but there's an anointing, I believe, when we come forward to the altar. It's a declaration. But God can work where you are, and we don't judge either way. But if you want to come and stand here, say, God, fill me with your revelation of your love, I invite you to do that. Let's worship God. Wonderful. Just, we just sort of respond to that. Like I say, God bless you if you need to go, but when God is doing business in our lives, we need to give him access and allow him to do that. And I know that's what he's doing in my life. I'm just going to worship some more. That word we'll put on the internet too. Listen to it. That was a word from the throne room of God for us corporately and for us individually. And I don't want in a year's time for us to have to hear the same word, because God won't be angry with us. Remember, he loves us. But that freedom will come. We need some worship. And just allow God to do that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'll seal this revelation in our hearts today for once and for all. That we are worthy too, because you are worthy. We are precious because you are precious. We are righteous because you are righteous. And we can walk in freedom and liberty, in love and forgiveness and acceptance, because you have brought that to our lives, Lord Jesus. And we are seated in you. Our position is one of being seated in you in heavenly realms. And out of that position of absolute acceptance, absolute love, absolute forgiveness for us, past, present, and future, we can walk in freedom. We can do what you've called us to do, not to gain your approval, not to gain a smile from our dad, but because we have it. We have a church. I just seen this picture of God with the biggest smile over you. You bring him joy. In fact, you make him hilarious sometimes. And we thank you for that, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Go and be the blessing that God's called you to be, and walk in freedom. We'll put this up on the web. We'll put that up on the web in my notes. And if there's still some work God has to do, go through it again until you walk in that freedom. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.